manejan mal.
Dame, 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 dame todo el power para que te demos en la madre. Gimme, 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 gimme todo el poder so I can come around to joder. Dame, 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 dame todo el power para que te demos en la madre. Gimme, 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 gimme todo el poder so I can come around to joder. Dámele, 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 dámele todo el poder.
Welcome back. I'm Toby Miller. I'm sitting in for Ian Masters. He'll return tomorrow. Joining us now from Medellin in Colombia is Ana Maria Tamayo Duque, a professor in the arts department at the Universidad de Antioquia. She just completed her PhD studies actually here in California, so she has connections both to the United States and to Colombia. Welcome to the program, Professor Ana Maria Tamayo Duque. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great for us. And we're calling you because there hasn't been that much coverage in the English language media here in the U.S. about these extraordinary national strikes that are going on in Colombia. And I wondered if I could start off by asking you to tell us how they've been affecting you, your family, let's say ordinary people and so on, and then maybe we can go into some of the context.
Okay, Toby, let me tell you a little bit first that this strike started a little bit more than 2 weeks ago. And it was the farmers, the small farmers, started protesting in the rural areas, blocking the roadways into the urban areas. And no much influence or disturbances inside the cities were felt around. But then a week ago, a lot of spaces in the population, such as students, professors, official workers, and other sectors of, for example, workers in the health areas started supporting the strike, the farmers' strike.
Wow!
And they started to protest in the city, especially because the first week of the strike, the government didn't recognize any trouble at all. The president, Santos, he said there was no such thing as a farmer's strike and completely invisibilized them. So that was like the breaking point, I would say, that spurred these supports inside the cities, which is very uncommon. Usually, these kind of protests are reduced in the group of people doing it, but they don't arise a lot of popular support. So this is like a big thing for Colombia right now.
And why do you think that's changed, Ana Maria? Why would it be that suddenly there'd be this linkage of issues across students, professors, office workers, mine workers, and so on, with the interests of workers in the countryside?
Well, I think the situation has reached this point because there's some governmentality problems. I would say there's the political situation here in Colombia. The parties are not doing their job properly.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Santos government, the only way to get things done is just to go outside and protest. So it started like 18 months ago, more or less, when they designed this awful new education law. So professors, teachers, and students made a strike, and the government changed the law, at least took it out from the legislation.
So that was successful as a protest, a very successful protest.
Yes, it was successful, and it was the only way. So I think it created a path, an informal path, given the non-working conditions of the representation in the Senate, for example, to work for the people. So the people is like looking for new paths from grassroots up to try to fight against these laws that usually are not taking into consideration the people.
And
for example, that was the case with the miners, that was the case with the students and professors, and now is the case with the farmers.
And a lot of this is about very asymmetrical free trade agreements that Colombia had struck with both the European Union and the United States, isn't it? There are 200,000 people, it's said, blocking the roads involved in these strikes, and a lot of this is about an attempt to take away not just their livelihoods, but more than that, their way of life, isn't it?
Yes, especially because since the 90s, Colombia's politics are being focused on industrialization and exporting of goods. So it started, like, the free trade agreements started in the 90s, not only with U.S. and Europe, but also with Japan now is being considered, China, and a lot of countries from South America and Central America. So what is going on here is that the state relinquished a lot of protection towards the rural areas, towards the farmers, towards the agricultural projects, to be able to negotiate. That's the case with Europe and U.S. They have very strict policies protecting the local farmers. So they never relinquished those protections, but demanded that we did it. So that is why a lot of issues are derived from the free trade agreements. But there's not only the free trade agreement the cause of these strikes. One of the things, also other thing that is causing this tremendous complication, is the huge gap between the livelihood between rural areas and urban areas. For example, right now, extreme poverty in the rural areas is reaching 25%.
Wow. And we're talking about relations internationally that are also structured in domination. So in other words, intense inequality domestically between rural and urban domains, but also intense inequality in the way in which foreign policy and specifically trade policy is conducted between Colombia and, you know, the notorious wine lake and butter mountain of subsidies to European agriculture and the notorious farm bill here in the U.S. Again, I'm speaking with Professor Ana Maria Tamayo Duque, who is in Medellin, Colombia, about the massive strikes that are going on there now. Now, Professor Tamayo Duque, if I could move on and just ask you about, now that these resistances to corporate domination, to state domination, to free trade and so on, have moved into the cities, what's been the impact on daily life? I mean, some of the coverage I've read suggests that because of farming blockades, the basic price of everyday necessities, like food, has skyrocketed and made life difficult.
Yes, especially in the intermediate cities, the food prices have skyrocketed, as you said, but not only that, there's also a lot of unrest around the civic population. Bogota and other cities have been militarized last week because of the resistance, and there were a lot of confrontations between the official forces, like the army and the police, between the people manifesting, protesting, and it escalated because there were a lot of conflicted interests in the protests, not only the workers, but the students, and as I told you, health workers, but also another kind of forces maneuvering inside the protests, because we are at Portas, we're getting close to the election time, and we're also right now negotiating with the guerrilla, the FARC. So there are a lot of interests mixed in this protest right now.
And I wanted to ask you about that. Some statements from Juan Manuel Santos, the president, and others suggest that the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, the FARC that you just mentioned, are actually involved. And I wondered about that as to their part in working with the rural strikers or whether they're actually pretty peripheral.
Well, actually, that was one of the arguments the president used to diminish the importance of this strike. But as I've been monitoring analysts and a lot of people here and the discussion here in Colombia, the only thing we could say is that the FARC are utilizing this situation for their benefit. Of course, right? They can to balance the negotiation. So they started saying that these strikes or these manifestations are giving them the reason. They are demonstrating they are right in their fight. But the interesting thing with this strike is that it started without these involvements, because it's not also the FARC that is involved now or trying to get involved in the protests. It's also the right with the leadership of the ex-president, the former president Uribe, who is also supporting the strike, trying to align with this politics. So it's really weird, because he was actually one of the dealers of the free trade agreement, and now he's trying to align with the protests.
Ana Maria
Tamayo Duque, a lot of interests here.
Professor Ana Maria Tamayo Duque, I almost fell off my chair. Did I just hear you right that former President Uribe, as you said, an architect of these free trade accords, is in support of these strikes?
Well, publicly, he is supporting the strike also as a political weapon to use against the dialogues being held right now in Havana, Cuba, with the FARC, because he's saying that we should be negotiating with the farmers and not with the guerrilleros. So as I'm telling you, this strike, who was born from the grassroots, from the farmers themselves, it's being used as a political weapon for many interests.
It's interesting. You know, there's an expression we use here in the U.S. that spin doctors, spin meisters, people involved in political campaigns deploy a lot, which is, you can't afford to lose control of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge of a story? So when you scan the media and you talk to other intellectuals and you meet fellow workers, do you have a sense of who's in charge of this story right now? Is it actually the campesinos? Is it the mine workers? Is it the health workers? Who actually is, in a sense, in control of the narrative of what the strikes are about?
Actually, for the first time in many, many years, I've seen the campesinos taking control of their narratives. There's this beautiful intervention by one of the leaders of the movement in the Congress, and who was criticizing the politics of the government, especially because now they have this program of giving free houses to very, very poor people. And he said a phrase that moved me to tears. He said, "Don't give us free houses. We can work to get them. Give us the means to work." So he's protesting against these paternalistic policies from the government in a very coherent discourse. Another side who is getting a hold of the narrative or getting a little bit more of visibility is the left, especially the Polo Democratico Party, because they've been talking about these issues very well fundamented for a long time. So I think they are in the leadership of the analysis right now. But what is happening now, and it's been happening also with the Cuban dialogues, is that the public, the society, is very polarized. So there's people asking for to stop the strike any means necessary, and other people supporting it. But it's like a very, very polarized situation, because also the right is using these arguments as it's just the guerrilla, or it's just people trying to make political unrest before elections. But I think the great thing here is how the social networks, such as Facebook and Twitter, are giving a lot of places to reflect upon. For example, since the strike, it started circulating a documentary called 970. It's a law here in Colombia. It's the number of a law who authorizes the government to regulate the seeds. So they are destroying local seeds and forcing farmers to buy Monsanto seeds, for example. Or in Facebook, there are constant posts of videos of police abuses towards the community, it has helped the coordination of march to support the campesinos. So I think it's a lot of unrest, but in an interesting way.
Wow, and it sounds as though those social media have actually played a very constructive, creative role in linking people, giving them the opportunities to tell their own stories, to stay in charge of the narrative, and to make connections organically rather than through the bourgeois media, the state, or whatever it might be. I had one other question I wanted you to reflect upon, if I could, and that is this an exciting time to be in Medellin, a time when you feel thrilled to be a paisa, or is it one more moment in a long and complex history of unrest and violence?
Well, that's a very hard question. I think because of the history of the city, I'm kind of a pessimist sometimes. Because we have lived through a history of massacres and murders of the people working for social rights and civic rights and working towards social justice, that whenever something like this starts, one begins to ask what is going to happen, who is going to appear to start disappearing the people, the leaders doing this, right? It's like exciting because at last the community is getting together to work towards something. There is not this anesthesia generalized in all the population. But at the same time, is the uncertainty that what dark forces could appear to silence again, as it has been happening for more than 50 years in Colombia, all the people trying to get a hold of a little bit of social justice.
Well, Professor Ana Maria Tamayo Duque, thank you so much for joining us from Medellin in Colombia. You've given us a remarkable first person, but also profoundly theorized and analyzed perspective on these remarkable strikes and the linkages of issues across working people that are going on there. It's been great to have you on Background Briefing.
Thank you very much. And I invite listeners to check the social networks, the social media, and because, as I was telling you, it has a lot of connections in the local sphere, but also a lot of connections with the international spheres, especially these agricultural macro projects that one needs to constantly monitor.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Toby. Bye.
Again, I've been speaking with Professor Ana Maria Tamayo Duque, a professor in the arts department at the Universidad de Antioquia in Medellin, Colombia. We're going to take a station break now and be back shortly to speak with Sara Ayesh, who is an employee, a campaigner at Greenpeace UK on the Save the Arctic campaign.